Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. You can catch up with me and our Florida Roundtable podcasts at BillMick.com. Today we're going to take a look at rentals of single-family homes in the Sunshine State. Developers are building homes that are designed to be rented to families as opposed to being sold to them. That trend is growing. Florida is second only to Texas with this development. In 2024, Jacksonville, Tampa, Northport, and Lakeland were in the top 20. Coming up, Orlando, slated to be number 7 on that list in 2025. What does that mean for Florida families or those moving here in the months and years ahead? Is this an affordable alternative for these families? We'll find out today on the Florida Roundtable. Doug Ressler joins us to break it down with rental homes in Florida this weekend on the Roundtable.
Quality Green Specialists has the plants, products, and friendly expert advice to keep your garden healthy and bountiful. Quality Green has thousands of plants, trees, flowers, herbs, vegetables, and more. Plus, high-quality organic-based fertilizers, products, even comprehensive soil testing. Visit DLand's beautiful nursery and fine fertilizer store. Conveniently open 9 to 4 daily. Located at 335 West Michigan Avenue. QualityGreenSpecialist.com. Top quality plants, sustainable gardening products, friendly expert advice.
Florida law requires seatbelts for drivers, front seat passengers, and anyone under 18. But seatbelts are encouraged for everyone because they save lives. Wearing a seatbelt cuts your risk of injury or death in a crash by nearly 50%, but only if it's worn correctly. Lap belt across the hips, shoulder belt across the chest, behind your back, it won't protect you. Buckle up every seat, every ride, every time. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help. And you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
When you're separating from the military, no one tells you how hard it can be to get your civilian life up to speed. But with VA benefits, it doesn't have to be. From the VA home loan requiring no down payment, to the GI Bill covering tuition, books, and cost of living, to VA healthcare offering top-ranked, low-cost care designed specifically for veterans, all the support you need is at VA. I'm here telling every veteran because I wish someone had told me, get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Nice to have you with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick, and our guest is Doug Ressler. Doug is the manager of business intelligence for Yardi Matrix, and I'll let Doug explain what that is and what they do as we prepare to take a look at the rental home market in Florida. And you know how tough that is in many areas of the state, and what some companies are doing, including some that Doug and his team are affiliated with. Doug, thanks for taking the time today. I appreciate you being here.
Bill, it's a privilege. Thank you very much. We're very much into development. We are part, Yardi Matrix is a part of Yardi Systems. Yardi Systems is our parent, privately held company, that is a technical company, software technical company for commercial real estate. As part of that, we have a marketing arm called Point2 Homes. Who recently used our data in terms of the build-to-rent market, which is a growing market. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, Bill, go ahead.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because the idea of building homes to rent as opposed to sell them, that means somebody's responsible on some end for managing those homes or those communities. Are we talking like entire rental communities here?
We are. What we track is 50-unit cohorts, communities within a very close proximity geospace. So it would look very similar to a housing development, but it would rent. And the reason for that is, the reason that this has grown, it really began back in 2008 with the great financial crisis, when there were a lot of evictions, a lot of people were moved out of homes, and there were a lot of vacant homes. And it progressed that supply stopped sale of homes, for the sale of homes, the developers really stopped, and the demand did not. It kept growing exponentially. In 2018, you saw some institutional investors begin to realize that that gap was widening. And at the same time, institutional investors said, you know, we manage rental communities or rental housing. We believe that we can manage it much more efficiently from a cost-effective standpoint and provide a product to consumers who want this type of thing in terms of a larger foot space, yard, et cetera. And so they began looking at that. Today, institutional investors make up a small percentage, about 11% of the market, but it is growing in terms of demand because of the fact that interest rates and the price of housing continues to outreach the consumer. And at the same time, from a budgetary standpoint, developers are just not developing enough to be able to fill the gap. It took us decades to get here, decade and a half. It's going to take much long, that long, to be able to get out of the gap between demand and supply. And a lot of people don't like to hear that, but that's the reality of the economics.
Well, everybody's used to seeing apartment complexes and multiple complexes that are managed by these property management companies and the like. The idea of single-family homes, relatively new, was 3% not that long ago. And as you said, about 11% of that market now of building homes is for this purpose. Is there an on-site manager or management company that's there, like you'd find in an apartment building, that type of thing?
It varies. It's really just a phone call away. But at the same time, they could be on-site in terms of one of the buildings. So different developers have different methods to do that. But that's one of the reasons, the cost efficiencies that I mentioned, that if you have them in close proximity from a standpoint, we've heard as much from developers as much as 40%, you know, from mom and pop, how they manage development rentals, BTR type of thing, one or two properties, that they can reduce costs by as much as 40%. And that translates into the price that is charged to consumers. That's a big number. And the reason for that is they don't need a maintenance guy running all over a wide geospace. They can do it very close proximity. They can be there on call right away.
Very good. And Doug Ressler with us. We're talking rental homes, but managed by a company. A little different concept. Can it save you money? Can it get you into the house you're looking for? We talk it this weekend on the Roundtable.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Wearing a life jacket or personal flotation device is one of the most important decisions you can make while boating. Today, there are several types of life jackets available, so you can find one that's comfortable and convenient to wear no matter what you're doing. And thanks to incredible advances in inflatable technology and innovative materials development, safety and comfort can both be a priority. Stay safe, stay comfortable, wear it Florida. For more information on this and other safe boating topics, visit myfwc.com.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Bill Mick, along with Doug Ressler, back with you on the Florida Roundtable as we talk rental homes in the state of Florida. Actually, a relatively new concept. Doug, you said this has been a decade and a half that this idea has really come into fruition?
Absolutely. Yeah, since 2018, when large investment organizations started seeing a demand. And the reason for that is that millennials, who were the sweet spot of renters and have been the sweet spot of renters, that's the anywhere from 25 to 44-year-old age group, they should be moving out and buying homes. And everyone knows that the difficulty to be able to do that with interest rates and the availability of homes. So what that means is that they're renting longer. And in addition, you have the Z-type renters, the people leaving home right now, the fresh outs to employment. They're becoming the new renter profile. So you've got this double down in terms of demand that needs rental housing, can't afford to buy, if you could even find a house in supply.
It's really,
and let's talk a little.
I'm sorry. It's really exploded in the last few years, as you said, from 3% not too long ago to 11% now. Is that surge a really recent trend, that this has become a go-to idea for communities or for these developers to build a community that is rental homes instead of just selling the homes outright?
We see it as a continuing trend. It's not linear. People want to expect a 45-degree angle left to right, and it's always going up. It is going to have some variation, and this is the year that it's in right now. When you look at it, completions nationwide for single-family build-to-rent, which is what we track, it was 38,000 in 2024, almost 39,000. 2025, year-to-date so far, it's about 7,000. So, and that goes back, if you look at 2019, it was 6,500. So you can do the math and say in 2019, 6,500 completions, and now that's ramping up to over 30,000 units. And we expect that that trend will continue. Will it be linear? No. And to your question about different communities, and let's talk a little bit about that, that's going to be dependent on local zoning, permitting, things like that. So each one is unique. In the Florida market, the big built-to-rent metros are Jacksonville, Tampa, North Portland, Northport, and Lakeland.
Mm-hmm. I'm seeing Orlando coming up as a potential top one in 2025 as well.
Absolutely. Orlando is key. It's got roughly 3,000 houses for rent in various stages of development. And Orlando is one of the top 10 best metros for BTR construction. Developers like it because it is a major attraction point for thousands of people mm-hmm. in terms of housing demand and major industrial and high-tech hub.
Let's talk comparison of price. If a family, say they're going to rent a 2 or 3 bedroom apartment and they're looking for that comparable home because they want the space, they want the yard, they want a garage and a couple of cars in the driveway. Is it going to be comparable to what an apartment would be, or is it going to be a little more, a little less expensive? How's this impacting the families financially?
Well, it's going to be a larger, you're kind of comparing apples to bigger apples, if you will. And so what you're talking about is typical nationwide average for square footage on an apartment is about 900 and change square feet. With a build to rent, you're looking at what starter homes start at. So it could be larger than the number I'm going to give you, about 1400 square feet. It really, again, is dependent, but you're getting more space. You're getting a typical 3 bedroom. You're getting, in most instances, a yard for horizontal type builds. And also, it could look like a townhouse where you're getting, especially in dense areas like Miami, you're getting something that's vertical because of the availability of land. So sure. You're renting more space, if you will. So you're going to have a slight difference of, price based off of that. So you got larger units, you have more family-oriented amenities that are included in that because that's the sweet spot of the demand. Usually it's larger groups, family groups that are renting these.
All right, very good. We're hearing a cry across the state for affordable housing. We are a service-oriented economy with tourism being as important as it is here in the state. Are we talking developments that may be geared to those service workers? Are they going to be affordable for those folks? Or are we looking at a little more expensive demographic, if you will?
Well, again, it depends. One of the things that we've added as Journey Matrix to our service this year, and if your listeners really want to contact us, please feel free. We wanted to act as a library or to take all the affordable data and centralize it in one location so that developers can take a look at the type of demand that's needed in particular areas and the type of costs accordingly that are associated with developing in those areas. And we do it as a way to both inform developers and as a way to meet the public's demand in those particular areas based off area median income, et cetera, et cetera. So again, it's a complex issue in terms of cost, but it's one where we think that providing the services makes for a better outcome, more informed outcome.
All right, very good. How are the locations chosen? Are you looking at population growth in areas? You're looking at available land? Or I guess there's a bunch of factors that would go into it.
There are a bunch of factors. One of the things that obviously you're looking at, it, like you pointed out, is the density. Will I have the demand to be able to do it and sustain? Because these developments, don't forget, they're long term. They're not, I do it and then I walk away from it or get rid of it. These are 3, 4, 5, 10 year type of developments. So you want to make sure that you have population and density growth, the demographics to be able to support it. In addition, you're also looking at the cost factor, and the cost factor is usually local in terms of zoning, permitting, the availability of land. That's why you see Orlando is so good, is that because in Seminole County, they have a much more liberal approach to the zoning and permitting that's available as opposed to Miami, which is very close. It's dense. The land use is a little bit more restricted. So that's why you see more in Tampa and Orlando, those areas that are getting development because of the ease of access.
What about college towns, places like Tallahassee or Gainesville? Is that part of the plan for some of these developers as well, having a community like this that you know you're going to have a student population that's there a minimum of 4 years? If they're kids from my family, it might be 8 or 12. You just don't know.
Good question. Yes, we are starting to see, especially in the markets around colleges, Jacksonville, Gainesville, they are starting to develop. And what we see is they are being populated by student renters. It's beginning to occur. And the reason for that is because most of the universities are challenged with on-campus dorms because they're old, they're aging. And they said, you know, should it be the organization or the university's part to be able to develop that, or should we look at private investment in the surrounding area, close proximity, to be able to do that? So it's a very good thing that's beginning to occur right now, where we actually see student housing beginning in build-to-rent type of communities.
Are there other areas or demographics where you see expansion as a possibility or a desire for to go there?
Yeah, especially like you pointed out, in terms of the affordability nature of it. You know, what you see is people in West Palm as opposed to East Palm, you have what you call these gateway cities. Gateway cities means they move through West Palm to get to East Palm because that's where my work's affiliated or things like that. So what you're looking for is close proximity to where you work. Work from home has helped in that regard. Remote work continues to be with us, or hybrid work, if some people want to call it that. So what you want to have is housing that is in close proximity to transit orientation, and you want it to be affordable. We see that occurring in Hialeah down in Miami, as well as West Palm Beach especially. Also in terms of Tampa, to the east of Tampa, to have close proximity. I don't have to be in the Tampa urban core or central business district every day. And so, but I do want to have housing And so we see that occurring, you know, all the time.
What's the draw for a developer to build a build-to-rent community as opposed to building a community to sell the homes and be out and done with it?
Well, it's demand, for one thing. You know, most of the people that are developing these things are also the long-term owner. In other words, it's not just a developer and then he walks, per se. So you have companies that have been formed to be able to develop and hold for a long term, to be able to provide the services, because they see it as part of their strategy in terms of the growing demand. In other words, where else would it, renters go, you know, if they're building families or if they're building a larger population, where else would they go and are they going to stay? One of the things that you see is long-term lease duration. In other words, it's not where I'm in 1 year and out the next. I'm in for a much longer period of time. And owners see that and they like that stability because it costs them to have the change out and it costs people to move out of apartments. So longer term leases are a benefit to both the consumer and the developer. And that's why it's so lucrative from a standpoint as to why people continue to adopt this and make it part of their strategy.
Well, it sounds like if they're committed in long term, this is a venture for those developers, say people developing their own land, putting something like that in, that once it's there, once they go through the initial cost, that it's something that is sustainable income-wise for them for some period of time then.
Absolutely. What we see is it's more than just about housing. People are building communities. And by communities, it means they have retail, they have grocery, they have transit, excuse me, access in near proximity. You even see some of the large builders, home builders for sale, actually carve out pieces of their land and make it applicable for rental, build-to-rent housing. That's occurring in parts of Dallas right now. So what you see is it's not necessarily a competitive type of nature. It's really more of a sustaining community nature that people want to have that community around them, want to be able to have access to restaurants, retail, et cetera.
All right. Very good. Doug Ressler's with us. We're talking a new trend in rental homes, and that would be actual communities where everybody's renting there, and it's still a community like you might have if you bought the home. We're looking rental, build-to-rent communities in Florida here on the Florida Roundtable. Stay with us.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help. And you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
Speed limits are designed to keep you and everyone else on the road safe. Following the speed limit reduces the chance of severity in crashes. In Florida, speed limits on highways never exceed 70 miles per hour. It's your responsibility to know the limit and to obey it. Drive smart, drive safe, follow the speed limit. Brought to you by the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles. For more information, visit flhsmv.gov.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late, we stay informed, we invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick with Doug Ressler. He's with Yardi Matrix, and they study the statistics of this build-to-rent phenomenon that's actually growing across the country, and here in Florida in particular, one of the top growth markets for them. And as we look at this, Doug, as these developers or companies look to create these types of communities, and I think that's important that we recognize it's a community. It's a neighborhood like you might find if you bought in a development. It's got the amenities around it. Sometimes, I guess, the amenities in it, whether it might be recreational facilities or swimming pools or parks, that type of thing. As we look at that, a little different concept for most people. Let's talk about the benefits for the renters and for the developers that have done that.
Sure. The amenities are one of the big keys. They're modern amenities. You have people that are looking to get fitness centers, co-working spaces, pet-friendly facilities, even childcare, as a matter of fact. Those are all very big pros to how developers look at the amenitization of these developments. Because, again, we're talking about a community.
And that's right there in your neighborhood, as opposed to having to take it downtown for whatever that purpose is.
Correct. That's correct.
Very good.
And so it's more affordable than home ownership right now. To rent is about $1,000 per month cheaper than it is to buy, if you can find a home, based on the current interest rates. And we think that situation is going to continue. So, and from a developer standpoint, it's appealing because of the growth potential and the stable longevity of the renters in said properties. Now, that being said, there's also reasons that make it difficult. And one of those, from a developer standpoint, is the high development cost. Land acquisition, construction, infrastructure development, because some of these places you're talking about, how do I get water, sewer, into those locations? Do I bear it all, or do I expect local public services to help in that regard? So that's important.
Are they generally getting help from those local governments? Are there tax incentives? Because a lot of folks are looking to add housing in their communities, but they don't want to go solely on the cost of either the roads, the drainage, the sewer, the water, whatever it may be. So are there like partnerships available to make that happen around?
Yeah, there's in Florida, there's a couple. There's state and local. And they can be used differently. For a couple of the state, you have economic development ad valorem tax exemption. It's called EDATE. This incentive allows for temporary or permanent property tax exemption. You have enterprise zone tax credits that still exist. You have brownfield redevelopment incentives. So if the program provides financial incentives and liability protections for developers who clean up and redevelop contaminated properties, qualified target industries. Locally, you got things called CRAs, community redevelopment areas. That's where local governments can designate areas in need of economic redevelopment and offer tax increments, financing, grants, and other incentives to these businesses. You have impact fee waivers, density bonuses. Density bonuses are in many cities of Florida offer density bonus to developers who include a certain percentage of affordable units. So all these are currently available in the state of Florida, which makes it very rewarding for a developer to evaluate developing there. Also, in terms of the aspect of time, many of the communities that we see right now are taking their permitting time, which time equals cost, and reducing it. And developers love that. If I can say that if I can get my permit, you know, done much faster, I can reduce my cost in terms of the end product.
That's got to be a positive for them. Do you see where this type of development, this build to rent, is also beneficial to the community? It's given them options they didn't have, something like that?
Yes, what we've seen in a number of studies, Harvard, Stanford have done, and some people don't like it, but the more housing brings greater economic diversity. It's been proven in the past. I mean, that's why Levittown, there's a book out on after World War II, the creation of Levittown and providing homes for returning veterans, what it did to the economic diversity of Long Island. Those things play out even today. And so that we think that the more housing really presents better opportunities across the board for both the economic development and economic diversity.
Well, we talked about the government assistance side of this and the tools that are available to help these developments come into play. What about the governmental hurdles? What are the toughest things to overcome for someone looking to develop something like this?
Well, really, it's really one, most of the permitting and zoning is one of the big hurdles. And that's done at the city and county level across the U.S. And so what people are looking for is a willingness by those companies to be able to do this. Also, you have existing populations. It's called NIMBYism, not in my backyard, of people that say, you know, this is going to have a negative impact on my property values. And that has been disproven in studies, but nevertheless, perception is very harsh against it. So what you have to do is to be able to go out and look at convincing folks and showing them the facts and data and also the environmental improvement that many of these communities represent. To be able to locate in the vicinities that they want to locate in. And they certainly need governance and policy of the local communities to be able to help in that regard.
My former partner in drug work lives in between Jacksonville and St. Augustine in one of these large developments up there. And as you mentioned earlier, there's a portion of that community that's set aside for apartments and maybe even rental homes. I don't know the answer to that, but the amenities are great. It's close to everything. It's a beautiful and well-maintained home. And I guess with that one owner of that type of facility, you've got standards that are kept up and the renters, they agree to abide or they don't move in there.
Right. Correct.
So, and it makes for, I guess, an attractive community and one that has consistency in not just in appearance, but in the lifestyle that it represents for those who are living there.
That's a good point you bring up, because in surveys that we've done or developers have shared with us, the key overriding number one priority that people consider in terms of their housing is security, safety. Absolute. And these obviously present that, and what you're bringing up, it just accentuates it.
All right. Very, very good. You say there, it looks like the demand for this is increasing. What are the factors that would either slow it down or change it? I'm assuming interest rates and the cost of manufacturing or building a home would be a big part of that.
Certainly, that's what's slowing it down a little bit right now. Certainly the cost of development. Obviously, you know, shocks to the economic system like recession, you know, labor loss, employment loss, things like that. Again, J.P. Morgan came out and they took a longer view. They took a 10-year view and they estimated that build to rent could be their numbers. Could be 40% of the housing market within a period of 10 years. So by 2035, it could grow to that kind of magnitude.
That's huge. Yes, it is.
Now, some people disagree with that. Other people disagree with the concept entirely. But when you look at Ivy Zelman from Walker Dunlap, it's one of her major markets that she is saying is a prime focus. Also, Mark Zandi at Moody's has commented very positively on the BTR market.
We mentioned tourism a little while ago as we talked about all this and its impact on Florida. Is there any look in the development of these communities for tourist areas that might be more rural or not as city or attraction oriented? Are they building out in places like that as well, or any demand there?
Yeah, suburban. Yeah, what you find is you find the land prices to be less expensive in suburban areas. Seminole County, like I mentioned before, large investment in Seminole County south of Orlando proper. And the reason for that, it's undeveloped. And you have governances, county governance is willing to work with you to be able to make it development friendly. So, yeah, usually you see it in the outlying area, especially the horizontal builds, because you need more land, you need more foot space to be able to do that. People want green belts, they want access to schools and, you know, families, things like that. In addition, what you see in the urban cores or central business districts, you see more of the verticals where you see townhouse type of arrangements because you have less land. So it looks like a townhouse where you have a garage in the bottom and then you have maybe double stack in terms of going up above the garage. And that occurs too. You see a lot of that in urban cores such as Miami, for example, or even in Phoenix, Arizona.
All right, very good. Doug Ressler with us as we look at build-to-rent communities in Florida. What about resources for renters? We're going to talk about that next.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp now for free information on how to get started today. InventHelp provides invention services that help everyday inventors get started with their idea. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. Our services include professional materials needed to showcase your invention and 3D animation and prototype modeling that help you demonstrate your idea. Get down to the details of your idea with a technical drawing. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Take advantage of the opportunity to get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-577-2648. That's 1-800-577-2648. Again, 1-800-577-2648.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon. Wish never end.
The homemade taste of Bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days of being made right now.
You'll be one smart cookie when you try Bluebell cookie cake ice cream, a sweet cream ice cream loaded with chocolate chip cookie cake pieces and swirls of chocolate and vanilla icing. This cookie cake ice cream really takes the cake.
The good old days are being made right now.
The good old days are being made right now.
for Bluebell ice cream at your local grocer and pick up your favorite flavor today.
Doug Ressler with us on the Florida Roundtable. My name's Bill Mick. We're talking a new, relatively new phenomenon in building in communities. We're talking homes in Florida built to rent. So a community that's an all-rental community, which is not the typical thing we would think about. But, Doug, you say the population of people looking for these is growing. That's what's caused the spur and development of this. If there are folks, for whatever reason, that find that preferential for them is to try and, as opposed to trying to buy a house, or maybe they just can't afford with interest rates or the cost of buying a home these days, are there resources out there available for them to be able to say, hey, here's a community I want to look at. It's something that's been built for this purpose, and that's a place I could go.
Yeah, you know, it's right now is the renter community can really look at local organizations to be able to help in that regard, especially, you know, faith-based organizations do a lot of help in terms of renters and that type of thing. I know that Freddie and Fannie had different VA products available to them. So one of the things that usually it's the lender that has these programs available. And people should look at that as an opportunity to be able to, you know, develop a way to maybe help in regards to the price or the cost of renting in various areas. Typically, it's not done through the developer. It's done through a lending organization or the local city or county.
And with these communities that are designed and built to be rental homes, Is do you have a library of these homes and where they are as folks look to relocate to another state or move to a job, that type of thing?
We do. You know, if you're interested, the Point Home folks or the Rent Cafe folks, two of our marketing sister divisions, you can go to their website. It's all free. You can look at various areas where you want to live, and they even have a nice map, and you can go in and select based off of a, you know, the type of criteria that you're looking for. Because we heartily encourage people to look longer term and really have a drill down in terms of their income and what they're actually looking for. And so make sure that you're putting those kind of numbers in, and both the Point Homes and Rent Cafe, their websites, you know, provide that so that people can make informed decisions based off of what their income is and what their desire is for both housing and the needs associated with it, like childcare or, you know, retail, that type of thing. Grocery's a big thing.
Oh, there's no doubt there. And as you pointed out earlier, wanting schools nearby these communities and the like, a big part of it for folks with families that are moving. For those who are in a maybe a job situation where they might have to be in an area for a few years, and then maybe the contract moves or part of the job moves and they're looking to go somewhere else, looks like an attractive option for folks doing that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Very good. As you look at the potential for growth in Florida in particular, you mentioned Orlando is going to be one of the growth markets. You mentioned Tampa, Jacksonville, Northport being a big part of that. Are there other potential sites across the state that are attractive based on the criteria folks are looking for?
Sure. You know, some of the biggies that that we're looking at right now are the Jacksonville area. You know, is that because of, like you pointed out, the universities? Could be. Gainesville is big. On the west side, you have, you know, Cape Coral, Fort Myers, Crestview, Pensacola is big up around the Panhandle. When you look, there's multiple communities in the Panhandle alone. Is that being affected by the people that work on the tourist industry up there? Could be. Or the military, the Department of Defense areas up there, the Naval Reserve
Plenty
Station.
Plenty of that across the state for sure.
Absolutely. And also, don't forget that you're looking at an influx of economic activity, especially around the space program, NASA, that type of thing. So with that, you're going to need people, infrastructure, what we call it is a magnifier effect, that you're going to need people that are going to service said industries and are going to need housing in these gateway cities to be able to do that. So that's some of the areas that's driving it. Tech hubs, what we see is, especially around universities, new development of technology is occurring not only within the university, but in small startup businesses near the university. And we found that people that get their degrees from said universities don't like to move. They like to stay in the same general area. They've invested time. They know the area. They want to remain. Ergo, they want to have housing. So that's the issue that we have.
Build to rent homes. And we're going to talk as we conclude our show with Doug Ressler when we continue in moments on the Florida Roundtable here from the Florida News Network.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-340-5510. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-340-5510. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-340-5510.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Living with a body of water right outside your home sounds delightful. Until these boogers start showing up. Mosquitoes aren't just annoying. They can carry deadly diseases like Zika and West Nile virus. But with Summit Mosquito Dunks, you can have your pond without all the worry. Simply drop a Summit Mosquito Dunk into standing water and kill mosquito larvae for 30 days or longer. Mosquito dunks are harmless to people, pets, fish, and wildlife. So it's just that stop hanging around. Visit SummitResponsibleSolutions.com.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestrule.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Doug Ressler with us on the Florida Roundtable. And Doug, just a quick recap before we close the show today about this build-to-rent industry that's come about and seems to be helping families, seems to be there are developers that are interested in it, but maybe more importantly, it builds a sense of community around these places as well. What brought it into play, and where do you see it going?
Sure. This was brought into play really beginning over a decade ago when there was a large influx of people that had been evicted from homes. Housing stock curtailed. It pulled back in terms of build to buy. And what you saw is the demand continued to grow. And as 2018, residential developers recognized the fact that demand was growing exponentially and supply was not keeping up, so it was producing a gap. And in the process, they have added build to rent to their strategies and as part of their portfolios to be able to accommodate the growing demand. So that's occurring as we see it right now, and we believe that it will continue to grow. Is it linear? No. Will it be adverse? Will it have adverse effects from interest rates and things like that? Of course, and shocks. But we believe that it will grow, and we believe it's a viable long-term strategy.
Let's talk about the benefit to families that are looking, and maybe buying's not an option for them right now, or maybe it's not going to be an option for them. What's the benefit to a family in looking at a community like this?
Sure. The benefit is that it gives you, as you pointed out, a community. It's not just about housing. It's the access to grocery, retail, schools, childcare, et cetera. In addition, you're going to have larger floor plates. You're going to have about, for a starter home, typically 1,400 square feet. Well, that's what a built-to-rent unit looks at. It looks at three bedroom typically. They could be larger, but the typically looks at 1,400 square feet and about three bedrooms, yard, pet friendly, etc.
That's very good. What would you project for this industry, taking a look at it over the next 10 years or so?
We project that this is a strong growth opportunity going forward over the next 10 years. We do not believe that the housing gap is going to be solved quickly. It's going to take time to build new supply. Certainly you have investment money, either both private equity or public equity, that is much more accessible going into these developments, and they can be managed at a lower cost premium than what the purchase price is. And we think that that will continue. And that's what makes these things so viable, especially for young potential homeowners.
Are you generally finding that governments, be they state or county and local, are accepting of this idea, and it seems to help grow there?
Absolutely. Well, we see that local communities want to promote economic diversity, and housing is a very pivotal leg in that stool to be able to do that. So we believe that local communities, especially the policy and governance committees, are looking very hard. They do have certain caveats to that in terms of the cost of infrastructure and things like that, but nevertheless, it's a long-term growth potential.
Doug Ressler with Yardi Matrix, thank you for taking the time this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. I do appreciate it. YardiMatrix.com if you want to see where Doug's at and what they're doing and connections to their affiliates there. Doug Ressler, appreciate the information. It's been a good hour, and thanks for talking to us.
Thanks, Bill. Privilege.
All right. Take care, and we'll see you next weekend here on the Florida Roundtable from the Florida News Network.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.